Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-ameen. And may he raise the rank of his trustworthy messenger, Nabiyyina Muhammadin, our Prophet Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. And likewise that of his family and companions, and may he grant them all an abundance of peace. As for what follows, amma ba'd. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Then we have gathered here, alhamdulillah, in al-masjid al-awwal, at the end of our fourth day of fasting in the year 1436, to come together once again to study some verses from the book of Allah Ta'ala. And this evening, we would like to separate our normal tafsir class that is on Sundays into two halves because we have short sessions here. So our normal session between Maghrib and Isha is about an hour. So we'll have about 30 to 40 minutes after we eat and before Isha to study the tafsir of Surah Al-Hadid. So I thought, why not on Sundays specifically make the tafsir of Surah Al-Hadid two parts, one at this time before Maghrib, and then the second part after Maghrib or after eating and before Salat Al-Isha. We've studied up until the fourth ayah of Surah Al-Hadid in our previous sittings. By the grace and permission of Allah Ta'ala, we have completed the study of the first four verses of Surah Al-Hadid, reading word for word from the tafsir of the great scholar Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. So today, asking Allah's assistance and success, we begin with the fifth verse, and that is found on page 371 of the printed tafsir from Dar al-Thuraya, which begins with Surah Al-Hujurat and ends with Surah Al-Hadid. We're on page 371, where the Shaykh mentions the fifth verse, لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The very beginning of it, for him is the ownership of all of the dominion of the heavens and the earth. I.e., Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih says, that means, لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى وَحْدَهُ. For Allah alone belongs those things, مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The dominion, the ownership of the heavens and the earth, خَلْقًا وَتَدْبِيرًا, as it relates to being the only creator and the only disposer of affairs. فَلَا يَمْلِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So no one owns the heavens and the earth other than Allah, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, the mighty and majestic. لَاسْتِقْلَالًا وَلَا مُشَارَكَةً. Not by way of istiqlal, meaning alone. No one alone would own the heavens and the earth other than Allah. Complete ownership. Nor partial ownership, shared ownership. Musharaka. Not by complete or shared ownership. Qala Allahu Ta'ala, or Qala Ta'ala, Allah the Most High, has said, لا يملكون مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض. They don't own the tiniest grain of anything in the heavens nor on earth. وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهَا مِنْ شِرْكٍ. Nor do they have any shared ownership. وَمَا لَهُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ. Nor does he, meaning Allah, have any assistance coming from them. Right? And that's the 22nd verse of Surah As-Saba, or Surah As-Saba. فَنَفَى الْاِسْتِقْلَالَ وَنَفَى الْمُشَارَكَةِ. So Allah negated from others beside him total complete ownership as well as partial or shared ownership. وَمَا لَهُ أَيْ مَا لِلَّهِ. And it's not, he doesn't have, that means Allah doesn't have, مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ. Doesn't have from them, there's a word missing there, مِنْهُمْ, from amongst them, مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ, any type of one who would give assistance or one that he needs for aid and assistance. أي من مساعد, as he says here, of any type of assistant. ساعده على خلق السماوات والأرض, someone who would have assisted him in the creation of the heavens and the earth. فَلَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So he alone has the ownership of the heavens and the earth. وَعَدَدُهَا سَبْعٌ. And the number of the heavens and the number of the earths as well is seven. Allah Ta'ala, Allah the Most High has said, and this is a repetition or a re-emphasizing of a point the Shaykh has made previously. قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ السَّبْعِ وَرَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. Say, who is it that is the Lord, the Rabb, the Lord, the Creator, the Disposer of affairs, of the heavens, the seven heavens, and who is the Lord of the Great Throne? Right, and that's from the 86th verse of Surah Al-Mu'minun. وَالْأَرَضُونَ أَيْضًا عَدَدُهُمْ سَبْعٌ. And the earths, they are seven in number as well. كَمَا جَاءَ ذَلِكَ ظَاهِرًا فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَصَرِيحًا فِي السُّنَّةِ. As has come apparently understood from a passage from the Qur'an and explicitly from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Allah the Most High has said, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّبَعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنْ. Again, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبَعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنْ. Allah is the one who has created, or who created seven heavens, and from the earth, the likes of them. Right? The likes of them. From Surah At-Talaq, the 12th verse. We're in the 5th verse of Surah Al-Hadid, Shaykh Siddiq. Al-Hadid. Aywa? Aywa? Jazakumullah khairan. يَنِي وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنْ. And the likes of the earth, like the heavens, the Shaykh says, يَعْنِي فِي الْعَدَدِ. The likeness is in the number. There are seven heavens and there are seven earths. وَثَبَتَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And it's been authentically established from the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and that of his companions and grant them all peace. أَنَّهُ قَالَ. That he said, مَنْ اِقْطَعَ شِبْرًا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ ظُلْمًا. Whoever sections off for himself a shibr, that's a handspan from the palm to the tip of the fingers, a shibr of earth, of land, from in an act of oppression, meaning he adjusts the land markers. You know, sometimes they have the markers in the land, the little pieces of wood that tell you where one property ends and the other property begins. If you were to go and move that over by a foot, or even half a foot, that would be like a shibr of oppression. You're taking that by oppression, playing with the markers of the land, right? So whoever does that, طَوَّقَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ سَبْعِ أَرَضِينَ. That Allah will place upon him the burden of seven earths on the Day of Judgment, right? And that hadith, as mentioned previously, is found in both Al-Bukhari and Muslim. طيب, so another reminder or re-emphasizing that reminder, that look at the effects of a small amount of oppression in this life. A tiny amount of oppression, a hand span worth of land, right? Just moving the marker over a little bit, look at the effects on the Day of Judgment. Seven entire earths being made as a burden for a person to bear, meaning of sinfulness and regret and sinful account. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. And to Allah return all matters. And to Allah return all matters. كُلُّ الْأُمُورِ. Every single matter or affair. أَيَ الشُّؤُونُ الْعَامَّةِ. All general matters. وَالْخَاصَّةِ. All specific matters. الدِّينِيَّةِ وَالدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ. Religious matters. Worldly matters. وَالْأُخْرَوِيَّةِ. Matters of the hereafter. كُلُّهَا تَرْجِعُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. All of them, they return back to Allah, عَزَّ وَجَلْ. The mighty and majestic. يَتَصَرَّفُ كَمَا شَاءَ. يَحْكُمُ بِمَا شَاءَ. He deals with them however he chooses. He judges about them with whatever he chooses. وَلَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ. And there is no one to overturn or to criticize or to repel his verdicts. عَزَّ وَجَلْ, the mighty and majestic. فَكُلُّ أُمُورِ الْإِنسَانِ الْخَاصَّةِ تَرْجِعُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Every specific matter of a person, every individual's secret or personal matters, they all return back to Allah. وَلِذَٰلِكَ يَجِبُ عَلَيْكَ. And thus, it is an obligation upon you, إِذَا أَلَمَّتْ بِكَ مُلِمَّةً, that if a trial or tribulation befalls you, and تَرْجِعَ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that you return to Allah Azza wa Jal, the Mighty and Majestic. لِأَنَّ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. And that's because the polytheists, while they are people of shirk, they are people of polytheism, إِذَا أَلَمَّتْ بِهِمْ الْمُلِمَّةِ, when tragedies befall them, التي يعجزون عنها يرجعون إلى الله. Tragedies, the difficulties that they face, that they are unable, that they are incapable of handling on their own, they return to Allah. And they're polytheists. They're the ones who ask Allah Ta'ala alone in times of difficulty. Azza wa Jal is the Mighty and Majestic. فَإِذَا عَصَفَتْ بِهِمْ الرِّيَاحِ, so if the winds pick up and make storms, في أعماق البحار, out in the middle of the ocean, على السفني يلجأون إلى الله, out of the ships in the middle of the ocean, you find them returning back to Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning alone. ويرجعون إلى الله, returning to Allah, seeking refuge with Allah and returning back to Allah. ويسألونه أن ينجيهم وهم مشركون, and they beg Allah that He saves them in their time of disaster or their time of difficulty, whilst they are polytheists, while they are people who make shirk with Allah. فَكَيْفَ بِكَ أَنْتَ أَيُّهَا الْمُسْلِمُ. So then what about you as a Muslim? I address you as a Muslim, the Shaykh is saying. What about you? فَلْجَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Then return to Allah. فِي كُلِّ صَغِيرٍ وَكَبِيرٍ. Or فِي كُلِّ صَغِيرٍ أَوْ كَبِيرٍ. Go back to Allah. Return to Allah in all matters, small and big. دِينِيٍ أَوْ دُنْيَوِيٍ خَاصٍ بِكَ أَوْ بِأَهْلِكَ. Whether they are religious matters or worldly matters specific to you as a person or specific to your family. لَا تَلْجَأْ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. Do not seek protection from other than Allah. Do not seek refuge from other than Allah. فَمَنْ أَنْزَلَ حَاجَتَهُ بِاللَّهِ قُضِيَتْ. Whoever tries to remove his need or tries to take care of his need through Allah, then it will be taken care of. وَمَنْ أَنْزَلَ حَاجَتَهُ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ وُكِيلَ إِلَيْهِ. And whoever tries to take care of his needs through other than Allah, then he'll be turned to that which he turns to. He'll be left to whatever he tries to seek as assistance or seek assistance from. He'll be left in the care of that thing. فَنَقُولُ. So we say, إِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورُ عَامَّةً. So we say, to Allah return all matters entirely, in general. الْأُمُورُ الدِّينِيَّةِ وَالدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ وَالْأُخْرَوِيَّةِ. The affairs of religion, the affairs of this worldly life, and the affairs of the hereafter. الْخَاصَّةُ وَالْعَامَّةِ. The specific affairs, individual, personal, specific affairs, as well as general affairs. وَإِذَا آمَنْتَ بِهَذَا. So if you believe in this, وَيَجِبُ أَنْ تُؤْمِنَ بِهِ, and it's obligatory that you believe in this, شِرْتَ لَا تَلْجَأْ إِلَّا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. It becomes the case that you don't seek refuge or protection or help in time of need except from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Then Allah says, يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَيُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ. Allah draws the night over the day as He draws the day over the night. The Shaykh says, يُولِجُ أَيْ يُدْخِلُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ. He enters the nighttime into the day. And he's going to explain exactly what that means. وَيُولِجُ النَّهَارَ. And he also causes the daytime, أَيُدْخِلُهُ فِي اللَّيْلِ, he enters it into the night time. وَهَذَا يَعْنِي اِخْتِلَافُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ فِي الطُّولِ وَالْقَصَرِ. This is a reference to the differing of the daylight hours and the nighttime hours as it relates to them being long or short. Right? أَحْيَانًا يَبْدَأُ اللَّيْلُ فِي الزِّيَادَةِ فَيَدْخُلُ عَلَى النَّهَارِ. At some times of the year, nighttime begins early, and it takes over some of the daytime.
فَهَذَا يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ. But that is when Allah has made the night to overtake or to take part of the daytime. وَأَحْيَانًا يَبْدَأُ اللَّيْلِ يَنْقُصُ. In other parts or other times of the year, the nighttime gets smaller comparatively to the daytime. The nighttime gets smaller. وَيَزِيدُ النَّهَارِ. And daytime, the daylight hours get longer. فَيَدْخُلُ النَّهَارُ عَلَى اللَّيْلِ. So then the daytime sort of takes more of the hours of the day and takes from the nighttime hours. وَلَا أَحَدَ يَقْدِرُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And no one is capable of controlling these kinds of affairs except Allah, the Exalted, the Most High. لَوْ اجْتَمَعِ الْخَلْقُ كُلُّهُمْ إِنْسُهُمْ وَجِنُّهُمْ. If the entire creation, all together, humankind and jinnkind alike, came together, وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ, along with the angels as well, مَسْتَطَاعُوا أَنْ يُورِجُوا دَقِيقَةً وَاحِدًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فِي النَّهَارِ. They would not be able to take 1 minute of the night time and cause it to take the time of the day, the daylight hours. وَيُورِجُوا النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ. Nor would they be able to take any time from the other and put it into the other. وَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And Allah the Mighty and Majestic, يُورِجُوا اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ. Allah is the one who causes the night to take over some of the daytime hours. أو من النهار في الليل. Or the daytime takes some of the nighttime's hours. ثم هذا العلاج لا يأتي دفعة واحدة. And this, the taking of hours or the redistribution of the hours, some of the daylight hours going to the night and vice versa, this is not done in a shocking or, you know, in one instance. Rather, it is done gradually, as the Shaykh is going to say. وَلَكِنَّهُ يَأْتِي تَدْرِيجِيًّا شَيْئًا فَشَيْئًا. Rather, it's done in a gradual process, very little by little. أَوَّلُ مَا يَبْدَأُ بِزِيَادَةِ. The first increase that you find, تَجِدُهُ يَأْخُذُ قَلِيلًا مِنْ الْيَوْمَيْنِ. You'll find that a day or even 3 days together would take 1 minute from the nighttime hours. Right? Meaning it's just now beginning to make daytime. Daytime is just now beginning to become longer. He's speaking about a time when the days and the nights initially are equal, and then the daytime begins to take some time from the nighttime hours. ثُمَّ يَبْدَأُ يَزْدَادُ. And then it increases. The daytime hours increase, right? الْيَوْمَيْنِ أَوْ ثَلَاثَ دَقِيقَ. Then you find it increases. حَتَّى يَكُونَ عِنْدَ تَسَاوِي اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ يَأْخُذْ حَوَالِ دَقِيقَتَيْنِ فِي الْيَوْمِ تَدْرِيجِيًا. Until it goes on, increasing in the times taken from the night to the day and vice versa. Until they're equal, here he's mentioning equality between the hours of the days and the night, then يَأْخُذْ حَوَالِ دَقِيقَتَيْنِ فِي الْيَوْمِ تَدْرِيجِيًا. Then there are the 2 minutes or so taken from the day or added to the day in a slow and gradual process. أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ جَاءَ دُفْعَةً وَاحِدًا. Imagine, could you see it, if it all happened in one shot? كُنَّا مَثَرًا فِي أَطْوَلِ يَوْمٍ فِي السَّنَةِ. Think of, for example, we were in the longest day of the year. وَإِذَا بِنَا فِي الْيَوْمِ الثَّانِي إِلَىٰ أَقْصَرِ يَوْمٍ فِي السَّنَةِ. And then, the very next day is the shortest day of the year. One day the longest day of the year, and then the very next day is the shortest day of the year. فَيَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ مَفَاسِدُ عَظِيمَةٌ. There would be great catastrophes or corruption that would be the result of such a thing. لِأَنَّ النَّاسَ سَيَنْقَلِبُونَ مِنْ حَرٍ مُزْعِجٍ. People would go from being in a very annoying high level of heat إِلَى بَرْدٍ مُؤْلِمْ فِي خِلَالِ 24 سَاعَةً, to a painfully cold temperature within 24 hours. وَهَذَا لَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ مُضِرٌ بِالْأَبْدَانِ وَالنَّبَاتِ وَالْجَوْرِ. And this, no doubt, would be something harmful to the people's bodies, to the plants, even to the atmosphere itself. ولكنه عز وجل يريده على تنظيم موافق للحكمة تماما. However, it is the case that Allah the Mighty and Majestic, He causes the daytime to take from the night and vice versa, within a system that is entirely inconsistency with wisdom, entirely inconsistency with wisdom, that it happens with precise wisdom. وَلَا أَحَدَ يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يَفْعَلَ هَذَا أَبَدًا مَهْمَا بَلَغَ مِنَ الْقُوَّةِ. And no one would be able to do this ever, no matter what level of strength he reached. Subhanallah. This reminds me of when there was a weather warning, and the weather warning was for the plants. I was shocked to see a weather warning, and it said, because of a big 40 degree drop in temperature, that they were advising people to cover the gardens, or all the garden will die, basically. Subhanallah. Sheikh Sadiq knows about it. He's working in the garden these days. Anyone? There's a weather warning issued by the government for the plants. Subhanallah. There was a 40 degree drop or so in one night's weather, and that was something that would basically kill off people's plants, or, you know, cause people's plants to die. Allahu Akbar. So look at what the Shaykh is saying here about the tadrij, the normal, consistent manner by which the days and nights grow shorter and grow longer in such a gradual and consistent way. Subhanallah, al-Khallaq al-Azim, the great creator. وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. And Allah is the most knowledgeable about what the chests hold. بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ, what lies within the chests. أي صَاحِبَةُ الصُّدُورِ, the companion of the chests. يعني الْقُلُوبِ. The meaning of that is, وَعَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ, the hearts. وَالدَّلِيلُ أَنَّهَا الْقُلُوبِ, and the proof that the intention here is the hearts. قول الله تعالى is the statement of Allah the Most High. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارِ. It is not the case that the eyesight goes blind. It is not the eyesight that is blinded, meaning as it relates to guidance, right? وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. However, it is the hearts that go blind, the ones that are in the chest. The hearts which are in the chest, they are the ones that go blind. نعم. Then, therefore, هُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا فِي الْقَلْبِ. And he is all-knowing about the matter of, or what, of the matters that are in the heart. وَإِذَا كُنْتَ تُصَدِّقُ بِذَلِكَ. If it's the case that you believe in that, فَهَلْ يُمْكِنُ أَن تُضْمِرَ فِي قَلْبِكَ مَا لَا يَرْضَاهُ اللَّهُ. If you truly believe in that, is it possible for you to keep contained, or keep hidden and contained in your heart that which does not please Allah? In kunta mu'minan, if you are truly a believer, la yumkin, it's not possible. فَطَهِّرْ قَلْبَكْ مِنَ الرِّيَاءِ وَالنِّفَاقِ. So purify, cleanse your heart from showing off, from acts of showing off, الرِّيَاءِ and nifaq and hypocrisy. وَالْغِلِّ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and having rancor for the Muslims. وَالْحِقْتِ وَالْبَغْضَاءِ, and having jealousy and hatred for them. لِأَنَّ قَلْبَكَ, because your heart, مَعْلُومٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, it is well known, its case, its state, everything that's going on with it is well known with Allah Azza wa Jal, the Mighty and Majestic. اللهم طهر قلوبنا, O Allah, cleanse our hearts. اللهم طهر قلوبنا, O Allah, cleanse our hearts. اللهم طهر قلوبنا, O Allah, cleanse and purify our hearts. هكذا, that's how the Shaykh did it, three times, asking Allah with this dua for those in his gathering and for those who would listen to him afterwards and read from his tafsir afterwards. May Allah Ta'ala accept the dua of the Shaykh and purify our hearts. And may Allah Ta'ala give our Shaykh Jannat al-Firdaus. Allahumma ameen. وَمْلَأْهُ مَحَبَّةً لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى وَتَعْظِيمًا. Fill that heart instead with love of Allah the Most High and glorification of Him. كَمَا يَلِيقُ بِهِ, as is befitting for Him. وَمَحَبَّةً لِلْرَسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَتَعْظِيمًا. And love for the Prophet, or love for the Messenger May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, as is befitting for him to be loved. وَمَحَبَّةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and love for the believers. وَمَحَبَّةً لِشَرِيعَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and love for the legislation of Allah the Most High. فَلَا تُضْمِرْ فِي هَذَا الْقَلْبِ شَيْئًا يَكْرَهُهُ اللَّهِ. So do not keep concealed, hidden in this heart, anything that Allah Ta'ala detests. فَإِنْ فَعَلْتَ فَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِهِ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ. If you did that, then Allah Ta'ala is all-knowing of it, and it would never be hidden from Him. فَطَهِّرْ قَلْبَكَ, so purify your heart. حَتَّى يَكُونَ نَقِيًّا سَلِيمًا, and so that it becomes pure and clean. لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَنْفَعُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Because nothing will be of avail, of any benefit on the Day of Judgment, except for the one who comes to Allah with a clean heart. كَمَا قَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, as Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ, on the day when no money will be of any benefit and no number of children. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, except for one comes to Allah with a heart that is clean. وَتَغَيُّرَاتُ الْقَلْبِ تَغَيُّرَاتٌ سَرِيعَةٌ وَعَجِيبَةٌ, and the changes that take place with a heart, they are changes that are fast and that are amazing. رُبَّمَا يَنْتَقِلُ مِنْ كُفْرٍ إِلَىٰ إِيمَانٍ, a heart may go from disbelief to faith. أو من إيمان إلى كفر في لحظة, or from faith to disbelief in an instant. نسأل الله الثبات, we ask Allah for stability. تغير القلب, and the change of a heart, يكون على حسب ما يحيط بالإنسان, and the change of a heart takes place as much as the things that are around a person, surrounding a person. وَأَكْثَرُ مَا يُوجِبُ تَغَيُّرَ الْقَلْبِ إِلَى الْفَسَادِ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, and the thing that brings about the change of the heart towards corruption more than anything is what? Love of this worldly life. فَحُبُّ الدُّنْيَا آفَ, so the love of this life is a serious flaw. وَالْعَجَبُ, and shocking. Well, how strange it is. أَنَّنَا مُتَعَلِّقُونَ بِهَا, how strange it is that we are so attached to it. وَنَحْنُ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهَا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, we know that it is just fading away provisions, or provisions that are deceptive and deceitful. They trick you into thinking they are very serious and very valuable. وَأَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ إِذَا سُرَّ يَوْمًا أُسِيءَ يَوْمًا آخَرٍ, and a person will become happy, will be made happy one day, and he'll have evil done to him another day. He'll be made happy in one day, and then he faces evil another day. كَمَا قَالَ الشَّاعِرُ, as the poet has said, وَيَوْمٌ عَلَيْنَا وَيَوْمٌ لَنَا, one day for us in our favor, and then another day against us. وَيَوْمٌ نُسَاءُ وَيَوْمٌ نُسَرُّ, and a day where we are, you know, we face evil, or evil is done to us, in a day where things are done to us that make us happy. كُلُّ لَذَّةٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَهِيَ مُحَوَّطَةٌ بِمُنَغَّصٍ, every single pleasure or taste of good, you know, good taste in this dunya, in this life, then it is surrounded by, or walled in by disappointment. It is surrounded with disappointment. لِذَلِكَ حِرِسْ, so as a result, be vigilant. عَلَى تَطْهِيرِ الْقَلْبِ, be vigilant about purifying the hearts. مِنَ تَعَلُّقِ بِالدُّنْيَا, from their attachments to this worldly life. إِلَّا فِي مَا يَنْفَعُكَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, except with something that benefits you in the hereafter. كَأَنْ تَتَعَلَّقَ بِالدُّنْيَا, لتصبح غنيا تنفق مالك في سبيل الله وفيما يرضي الله. For example, that your heart is attached to some matter of the dunya so that you could gain riches, that you would spend of your wealth in the way of Allah and in ways that please Allah Azza wa Jal, the Mighty and Majestic. فَهَذَا شَيْءٌ آخَرٌ. And this is another matter, meaning having vigilance about a worldly matter, and this is the goal in the end, and this is not the case that was mentioned previously. وَطَلَبُ الْمَالِ لِلْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ خَيْرٌ. And seeking out wealth, money, for the sake of doing good deeds, then that's khayr, that's good. لَكِنْ طَلَبُ الْمَالِ لِمُزَاحَمَةِ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا فِي دُنْيَاهُمْ شَرٌّ. However, seeking after wealth in order to compete with or to crowd, to try to overtake the crowds or try to overtake the people in their dunya as it relates to their dunya, then that is evil. That is sharr. That is evil. Meaning, going after wealth in a way that's just to compete. To have what the Joneses have, to have what the neighbors have, to have what people have, and to be like the people, not so that it can be spent in the way of Allah, or that it can be used to free yourself from the punishment of Allah and His anger, that is blameworthy. The one who seeks after money, in order to maintain a masjid, in order to help the poor, in order to advance and promote the call to Islam, these matters, then his, even if he is a person who, you know, is attached to that, seeking of that money, and that is all based on the ghaya. It's all based on what he's doing that for. He's doing that in order to what? To earn the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And as a reminder, to add on to this khayr that we've heard from our shaykh, that we don't believe the goals justify the means. As a general reminder, because many people may say, well, I intend to give money to the poor, or the masjid, or for Islamic causes. So I have a convenience store, or I sell alcohol, or I sell cigarettes, or whatever. I sell movies, I do this, I do that. For what? Because I'm going to get a lot of money, and then I'm going to take this money, and I'm going to use this money to please Allah. What's wrong here? That in Islam we have a pure goal. We have three things as it relates to the pathway that you choose to take. A pure intention before you begin. And then you have a pathway that you take, which must be halal, which must be permissible. No tricking, no deceiving, no impermissible products being sold and so on. The pathway must be pure. And then that goal must be pure. What you do with it once you get it, your intentions of what you're going to do with that once you gain it. Those three matters must all be pure and halal, in order to gain nearness to Allah and acceptance from Allah for your actions. Again, the intention from the beginning must be pure. The actions throughout must be pure. And the ghaya, the goal that you reach, and what you do with it at the end, must be pure and halal. All of that is taqwa of Allah, consciousness of Allah, and that is what Allah Ta'ala accepts, and not less than that. Don't be fooled by thinking you can amass some money physically, or you're able to do that, but you end up displeasing Allah. This is what Allah Ta'ala has made easy for us to present, and we'll continue insha'Allah Ta'ala our reading of Tafsir Surah Al-Hadid after Salat Al-Maghrib and our iftar meal insha'Allah Ta'ala. Bismillah. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. After praising Allah and sending salat and salam on the Messenger of Allah, we begin again with part two of our tafsir of the opening verses of Surah Al-Hadid. This continues to be our fourth session that we started earlier before Salat Al-Maghrib. And so we will continue reading from where we left off, and that is on page 374. Of the tafsir of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen of Surah al-Hadid in the volume of his tafsir that begins with Surah al-Hujurat. And we finished up into the statements of Allah Ta'ala, Aminu Billahi, ورسوله, and believe in Allah, or believe in Allah and His Messenger. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ, and spend from that which He has made you to be temporarily in charge of it. He has given you temporary power over it. He has made you the Khalifa. He has made you the temporary guardian over that money. آمِنُوا, have iman. الخطاب للعباد كلهم, the address is directed towards all of the servants, meaning all of the people, entirely. بِاللَّهِ, believe in what? In Allah. رب العالمين, the Lord of all of the alams. And an alam is one kind of creation, like mankind, like animals, like jinn, and so on. All of the alamin, all of the things that are created, they are alams, and Allah is رب العالمين. ورسوله, and believe also in His Messenger, محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. May Allah raise his rank and that of his family and grant them all peace. وَالْأَمْرُ هُنَا لِلْوُجُوبِ, the order, or the command here, is something that provides an obligation or something that proves an obligation. الَّذِي هُوَ أَشَدُّ أَنْوَاعِ الْوُجُوبِ تَحَتُّمًا, the most obligatory kind of obligation, the most decisively obligatory obligation, that is to believe in Allah and His Messenger. والإيمان بالله أن تؤمن بأنه رب العالمين, and to believe in Allah includes that you believe that He is the Rabb, the caretaker, the creator, the bringer of life and death for all of the creation. وأن تؤمن بأنه الإله المعبود حقا, and that you believe in Allah also includes that you believe that He is the one deity worthy of worship in right. الَّذِي لَا يَسْتَحِقُ الْعِبَادَةَ إِلَّا هُوَ, the one who no one deserves any kind of worship other than Him. وَأَن تُؤْمِنَ, and there you have so far two kinds of tawheed, tawheed al-rububiyyah and tawheed al-uluhiyyah or tawheed al-ibadah. Right, then وَأَن تُؤْمِنَ بِأَنَّ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءَ الْحُسْنَى, and it also includes that you believe that He is the one who possesses the most beautiful names, وَصِفَاتِ الْعُلْيَا, and the highest ranking or the loftiest attributes. وَأَن تُؤْمِنَ بِأَنَّهُ الْفَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ, and that you also believe that He is the one who does whatever He wishes, continuously, without someone stopping Him or without any resistance from His creation. وَأَن تُؤْمِنَ أَنَّهُ لَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ, and also that you believe that there is no one to repel or to deny His verdict in a matter. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ, and He is the all-hearing and the all-knowing. وَأَن تُؤْمِنَ أَنَّ مَرْجِعَ الْخَلَائِقِ, and that you believe that the returning point of all of the created beings, إِلَيْهِ, it is all back to Him. فِي الْأَحْكَامِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ, as it relates to legislative rulings, fiqh rulings, وَالْأَحْكَامِ الْكَوْنِيَّةِ, and as well the rulings related to the creation, meaning the qadr that takes place within the creation. فَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْخَلْقَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, so who is it that maintains or takes care of the entire creation other than Allah the Mighty and Majestic, Azza wa Jalla? وَالَّذِي يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ, and who is it other than Allah that judges between them? فِيمَا كَانُوا فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ, in the matters that they differed over. هُوَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, it is Allah the Mighty and Majestic. وَرَسُولِهِ, meaning, and also believe in His Messenger, مُحَمَّدٌ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, his name was Muhammad, upon him, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. أَرْسَلَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَى جَمِيعِ الْخَلْقِ وَالْإِنْسِ وَالْجِنِ, he was sent by Allah to all of the creation, mankind and jinn. وَخَتَمَ بِهِ النُّبُوَّاتِ, and he sealed with him all prophethood. فَلَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدَهُ, so there is no prophet that would come after him. وَالدَّلِيلِ, and the evidence for that is the statement of Allah, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَى أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ. Muhammad was not the father of any of your men. Allah refers to his prophet as Muhammad here. Muhammad was not the father of any of your men. وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. However, he is the messenger of Allah and the khatam, the seal, the finality of all the nabiyyin, of all prophets. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. And Allah is regarding all matters, all knowing. Tell you, that's from Surah Al-Ahzab, the 40th verse. يَعْنِي كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ خَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ فَلَا نَبِيَ بَعْدَهُ. This ayat means that the messenger of Allah was the seal, the finality, or the final seal of all of the Nabis, of all of the prophets. So there can be no prophet after him. فَمَنِ ادَّعَ النُّبُوَّةَ بَعْدَهُ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. Anyone who claims prophethood after him, then he is a disbeliever. Right? Why is he a disbeliever? Because it requires that one reject this Quranic verse. Rejection of any Quranic verse is disbelief outside of the religion. So, for you to say, no, there is a Nabi after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will you do with the verse? You have to reject it. There is no way for you to coexist with your claim that there is a Prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and belief in this verse. It must be juhud, that you disbelieve and reject in this verse. يجب أن يقص عرقه. His head is to be chopped off. And this statement here is to be understood in its context. He faces capital punishment. And look at what the Shaykh says, إِلَّا أَن يَتُوبَ وَيَرْجِعَ. That he accepts as well if he repents and returns back from this position. طيب. Does this mean that Muslims cut off people's heads or chop off people's heads who say that there are prophets after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here in America? Absolutely not, right? We have a judicial system and we have capital punishment inside of that judicial system. When that judicial system is in place in a Muslim government established, then a Muslim country is free to do what they wish in their judicial country without another country toppling it or saying that you're not allowed to rule your government or establish your court system in such a way. That's accepted amongst the nations on earth, that nations, sovereign nations, have the right to rule by whatever they wish. Right? So we're not saying that we as Muslims reserve the right to physically attack people because of certain beliefs. We say that if our system of governance was in place, then this person with this claim, he faces capital punishment for his crime. And he is to be put through a trial, and he is to be given a chance to offer whatever excuse he has, and to defend himself or to retract his statement and so on. And you find that, walhamdulillah, people who commonly face capital punishment in the Muslim lands, they retract their statement, they repent from their action, and they give up what they were doing. And you find that this brings the people into good, wholesome, upright behavior where they do not attack and revile prophets and messengers of Allah or speak about the religion in ways that are unbefitting. So the religion is preserved. And of course, the West has criticism for this because the West has a foundation that religion has no part in government. Religion cannot be part of a just government. And just governments that are fair are irreligious. They have nothing, no connection to religion. That's the Western take. But what that's led them to is what we're facing right now in America, is that anyone can make a law. Anyone can suggest a law. And as long as you have the majority support for your opinion can become the law. That's how things become law, with the majority. So any person, he can be the most wicked of people, the most foul of people. He can become a legislator so long as the majority of the people agree with him. With one condition. The only condition that the West has is that that person not be a prophet or messenger. He can be an artist. He can be an architect. He can be a doctor. He can be a pimp, a prostitute. He can be anything. Come with an opinion. The majority of the people adopt it, vote it into law, and it becomes legislation. So long as it's not Isa ibn Maryam, so long as it's not Jesus, it can be anybody on earth, but not Jesus. Nothing that Jesus laid down as law can be considered fair law. As long as it's not Muhammad, as long as it's not Moses, as long as it's not these people. Bring me the worst drunken, fornicating, sinner, singer, dancer, every type of filthy person with a filthy lifestyle, his opinion can be adopted by the majority and voted into law. Bring me a hadith from a prophet? No, absolutely not. Because it's from a prophet, it is instantly disqualified. That's your democracy. Right? So what does that mean about the laws? That the laws are going to be corrupt, absolutely. Because they are in direct opposition to whatever the prophets came with. And they will not accept the teachings of prophets as the basis for any law. So as soon as you say, I think this about abortion or whatever topic of the day that pops up, as long as the people agree with you, that's the law. But just don't quote a prophet. Just don't make your source of legislation the creator of the heavens and the earth and his revelation that came through a prophet. This is the end result of saying, we want a religion. We want a government that doesn't have religion in it and fairness for all of the people. Wallahu musta'an. So who believes the one who? So the one who says that there is a messenger after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether he says the word prophet or messenger, it's all inclusive. Why? Because a nabi is a large group of individuals who received revelation. And the Rusul, the messengers, they are an elite group amongst those Anbiya. So every Rasul, every messenger, is by default a Nabi. Right? But not the opposite. There are many Anbiya, many Nabis, who are not Rasuls, who are not messengers. Messengership is a higher rank amongst the prophets. Right? So when we say there is no prophet after him, that includes as well no messenger, because the messenger is a kind of prophet. Right? So no prophet, that is the entire rank of anyone who claims to have received revelation from Allah Ta'ala. The scholars, they say the prophet is the one who was given revelation and not ordered to convey it, meaning not made responsible for conveying it to any specific people. And the Rasul, هو المرسل, الذي أرسله الله. He's the one who he received revelation and he's been ordered to convey that revelation and been made responsible for a group of people for conveying it to them. Yeah? So Adam alayhi salam was a prophet, but not a Rasul. Logically, if he was a Rasul, who would he be sent to? He's the first man. Right? So he was a Nabi. He was given revelation from Allah Ta'ala, but there was no one to be ordered to convey it to. And the first of the messengers was Nuhun alayhi salatu wassalam, when the people began to take others beside Allah in worship, then there was a need for Allah to send a warner and a bringer of glad tidings to them. For those who would wish to worship Allah alone, they would receive the glad tidings, and for those who wish to continue in acts of polytheism, they would be warned of the results of their sins. وَأَنْفِقُوا Allah, going back to Surah Al-Hadid, Allah's order here, وَأَنْفِقُوا and spend. Believe in Allah and His Messenger and spend. Al-Infaq, Al-Badal means spending. مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ يعني المال. This is a reference to money. That which you have been given temporary authority over, that's money or wealth. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ جَعَلَنَا مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِي الْمَالِ Allah has made us in charge of the wealth. فَهُوَ الَّذِي مَلَّكَنَا إِيَّاهُ He is the one who gave us possession of it. فَلَا مِنَّةَ لَنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ بِمَا نُنْفِقُ So it's not for us to say that we have done something to cause us to deserve something from Allah. We have done a special favor for Allah, for example, when we spend in His way. We don't say these things. بَلَا الْمِنَّةُ لِلَّهِ عَلَيْنَا بِمَا أَعْطَى Rather, the grace or the source of the blessing is that Allah has given us that wealth, and that the minnah, the gift, the blessing is from Allah Ta'ala. وَالْمِنَّةُ لَهُ عَلَيْنَا. And as well, we attribute for him that he has been graceful to us. بِمَا شَرَعَ لَنَا مِنَ الْإِنْفَاقِ. Based on what he has legislated for us to give and to spend from. وَلَوْلَا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَرَعَ لَنَا أَن نُنْفِقَ لَكَانَ الْإِنْفَاقُ ضَيَاعًا وَبِدْعًا. Had it not been that Allah legislated for us that we give or spend from our wealth, then it would be that spending would be a loss of the money and an innovative practice. Meaning, it's not an act of worship to spend in zakat or in charity, so then spending to get close to Allah would be an innovation, because Allah hadn't legislated it. Yet Allah legislated it, so there is a way for us to use the wealth that we've been given to draw near to Allah Ta'ala, and that's the grace of Allah upon us. فَلِلَّهِ تَعَالَى الْمِنَّةِ عَفْوَانَ وَلَكِنْ شَرَعَ لَنَا أَن نُنْفِقَ. However, Allah legislated for us acts of spending. فَلِلَّهِ تَعَالَى الْمِنَّةُ أَوَّلًا فِيمَا مَلَّكَنَا مِنَ الْمَالِ. So Allah Ta'ala is the possessor of grace that He has bestowed upon us as it relates to the wealth that He has put us in possession of. وَلَهُ الْمِنَّةُ ثَانِيًا بِمَا شَرَعَ لَنَا مِنْ إِنْفَاقِهِ. And then He is the one who is graceful and has graced us with that wealth in a second way by legislating for us ways to spend it. وَلَهُ الْمِنَّةُ ثَالِثًا بِالْإِثَابَةِ عَلَيْهِ. And for Him as well is a third type of grace upon mankind that He has followed up the legislated spending with rewards associated with the spending, that He will reward us for our spending. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. So the people who believe from amongst you, I amanu billahi wa rasulihi, the ones who believe in Allah and His Messenger, لأنه قال آمنوا بالله ورسوله وأنفقوا, because he said just before this, believe in Allah and His Messenger and spend. أي مما جعلكم مستخلفين فيه, spend from the things we have given you authority over. لهم أجر كبير, they have a great reward. لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. وَالْآيَاتُ فِي هَذَا كَثِيرًا. And the verses with this meaning are many. لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ, they have a great reward. وَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ, and Allah describes various great, large, multiple, numerous rewards. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Whoever comes with a single good deed, then he will have, in terms of reward, the likes of 10 of its kind. فَوَصَفَ اللَّهُ الْأُجُورَ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ بِأَنَّهُ كَبِيرٌ عَظِيمٌ كَثِيرٌ. So Allah has described the rewards that are in place for those who do deeds, that those rewards are big, great, and numerous. الْكَثِيرُ نَأْخُذُهُ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ. In terms of numerous as a description, we take that from his statement, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Whoever does a single good deed, whoever comes with a single good deed, he will have the like of 10 rewards for it, or the reward of 10 likes of it. وَبِهَذَا نَعْرِفُ مِنَّةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا. And through this we know the grace of Allah upon us. يَأْمُرُنَا بِالْعَمَلِ وَنَعْمَلُ بِهِ. He orders us to do certain deeds, and we do them. وَيَأْجُرُنَا عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا كَثِيرًا أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا أَجْرًا كَبِيرًا. And that after he orders us to do something, and then we comply, then he rewards us with numerous rewards, with great rewards, with big rewards. مِنَّةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ كَبِيرًا. A great, huge grace upon us. فَعَلَيْنَا أَن نَشْكُرَ اللَّهِ. So upon us is to be thankful, be grateful to Allah. وَأَن نُنْفِقَ مِمَّا جَعَلَنَا مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ. And that we spend from what He has made us, has given us authority over, meaning from our wealth. فَهَلْ نُنْفِقُ كُلَّ مَا نَمْلِكُ أَوْ بَعْضَ مَا نَمْلِكُ. The Shaykh inserts now a fiqh discussion. Are we to spend? Is it for us that we can spend everything we own, or some of what we own? Right? قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَأَنْفِقُ مِمَّا. Allah says, and spend from what we have made you in charge of. وَمِن, this word min, from, هَلْ هِيَ لِتَبْعِيضُ. Is it for partiality? Is it part? Spend from part of what we have given you? Meaning, and don't spend from other parts? Only spend from part of what we have given you. Is that the meaning of min, that it means part of? أَوْهِيَ لِبَيَانِ مَا يُنْفَقُ مِنْهُ. Or is it that it's from a certain kind of wealth, or from this wealth? Meaning just from, not having to do with partiality or part of something, but from it, from it. يُنْفِقُ مِنْهُ إِذَا كَانَتْ لِلتَّبْعِيدِ فَالْمَعْنَى أَنْفِقُ بَعْضَ مَا رَزَقَكُمْ وَلَيْسَ كُلَّهُ. If it means partiality, then it means spend part of what we have given you or what Allah has provided you with, but not all of it. Do not spend all of it. Right? إِذَا جَعَلْنَاهَا لِلْبَيَانِ. If we understood this min to be bayan, clarifying the type of wealth that is spent from, فَالْمَعْنَا أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ حَسْبَ مَا تَقْتَضِيهِ الْمَصْلَحَ. Then spend from what we have provided you with, based on the situation, or based on what is best in each situation. إِمَّا الْكُلُّ وَإِمَّا الْبَعْضُ. The meaning would be, whether it is, spend all of it if you need to, or spend only part of it. وَالْأَحْسَنْ. And the best understanding of this verse, أَنْ تَجَعَلَ مِمَّا لِلْبَيَانِ. That you understand the min from to be for bayan, for the kind of wealth to spend, or the clarification of what wealth is to be spent. وَإِذَا جَعَلْنَاهَا لِلْبَيَانِ صَارَ الْإِنسَانُ مُخَيَّرًا. And this, upon this understanding, a person then is given the choice. He is free to choose. يُنْفِقُ كُلَّ مَالِهِ أَوْ بَعْضَ مَالِهِ. He's free to choose. Should he spend all of his wealth, or should he spend part of his wealth? أَكْثَرَهُ أَوْ أَقَلَّهُ. Most of it, or a small portion of it. حَسْبَ مَا تَقْتَضِيهِ الْمَصْلَحَ. Based on what is most appropriate or beneficial for each situation. وَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَّهُ كُلَّمَا كَانَ الْمَعْنَى أَوْسَعَ. And as a principle of tafsir, whenever the meaning is more expansive, كَانَ الْأَخْذُ بِهِ أَوْلَى. The word كَانَ is repeated there twice in the passage, mistakenly. كَانَ الْأَخْذُ بِهِ أَوْلَى. Then taking the position based on the more expansive meaning is more appropriate as it relates to our understanding of the verse. والقرآن الكريم العظيم معانيه واسعة عظيمة. And the meanings of the great and noble Quran, they are expansive, tremendously expansive. ولذلك حث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is going to be illustrated now in one story of what happened between Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Umar ibn Khattab in spending in the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said this happened once as it related to charity. وَكَانَ صَحَابَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. The companions, may Allah be pleased with them, يَتَسَابَقُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. They were always in competition to do good. كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَكُونَ هُوَ السَّابِقُ. Each and every one of them wanted to be the winner, or the one to outdo the others in terms of charity and virtues in general. فَقَالَ عُمَرُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. So Umar said, may Allah be pleased with him, الْيَوْمَ أَسْبِقُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ. Today I'm going to outdo Abu Bakr. Right? لأن هذين الرجلين هما أخص الصحابة بالرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. These two were the most specifically virtuous companions of the Messenger. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. وأحب الصحابة إلى الرسول. And the most beloved of all of the companions to the Messenger. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. والنبي يحب أبا بكر أشد من حب علي بن أبي طالب. And the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, loved Abu Bakr more than his love for even Ali ibn Abi Talib. May Allah be pleased with him. مع أن علي بن أبي طالب, along with the idea that Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, ibn عميه وزوج ابنته, was his cousin and the and his stepson, not stepson, son-in-law, and his son-in-law. لكن أبا بكر رضي الله عنه يحبه أشد وأكثر. However, even with that status, family connection, you know, all of that, he loved Abu Bakr more, with more devout love. فقد سئل, he was asked, من أحب الناس إليك, who is the most beloved of all people to you? قال أبو بكر. He said, Abu Bakr. The hadith is found in al-Bukhari and Muslim. قال, in another hadith he said, also found in al-Bukhari and Muslim, لو كنت متخذا من أمتي خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا. Had I taken, if I were going to take a khalil, meaning a chosen specific friend of unique status, right, from my ummah, then I would have taken Abu Bakr as that khalil. Well, muhim, what is important here? Anna Umar kana huwa wa Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhuma kafarasayrihan. It was the case that Umar, along with Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with both of them, they were like race horses when it came to doing good. يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَسْبِقَهُ لَا حَسَدًا لِأَبِي بَكْرٍ. Umar wished to outdo Abu Bakr, not out of jealousy for him, رضي الله عنه, لكن حُبًّا لِلْفَضْلِ لِنَفْسِهِ. However, out of loving the virtue to be established for himself. And we'll pause here to listen to the adhan, insha'Allah ta'ala. So Umar radiallahu anhu wished to outdo Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And he said, Al-Yawma asbiqu Aba Bakrin. Today I'm going to outdo Abu Bakr. فَجَاءَ بِنِصْفِ مَالِهِ لِيُنْفِقَ. So he came and brought forth half of his entire wealth to give it in charity, or to spend it. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامِ يَا عُمَرُ. So the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said, O Omar, ماذا تركت لأهلك? What have you left for your family? قال تركت لهم الشطر. I've left for them half. Half of it has been left behind for them. يعني النصف, meaning half. شطر and نصف are two words in Arabic for half. وجاء أبو بكر بكدن ماله. Then Abu Bakr came. فقال ما تركت لأهلك? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked him, what have you left for your family? قال تركت لهم الله ورسوله. I have left for them Allah and His Messenger. Right? أي أتى بكل ماله. Meaning he came with everything that he owned to spend. فقال عمر رضي الله عنه. So Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, said, والله لا أسابقك على شيء بعد هذا. I will never compete with you ever again after this. Right? And that was collected by Tirmidhi. عَرَفَ أَنَّهُ يَعْجَزُ أَنْ يَسْبِقَ أَبَا بَكْرٍ. He realized that he was incapable of outdoing Abu Bakr. Right? وَشَاهِدُ مِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَنَّ أَبَا بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ تَصَدَّقَ بِجَمِيعِ مَالِهِ. The point of reference from this hadith is that Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, gave in charity from his entire wealth. Not from his entire wealth. He gave his entire wealth in charity, nothing left. فَإِذَا رَأَى الْإِنسَانُ الْمَصْلَحَ فِي أَنْ يَتَصَدَّقَ بِجَمِيعِ مَالِهِ. So in this case, if a person sees an opportunity for benefit in giving all of his wealth in one time, وَأَنَّ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةِ التَّوَكُّلِ وَالْإِعْتِمَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and that he has within himself strength in reliance upon Allah, واكتساب الرزق, and the ability to make money, ما يمكنه أن يسترد شيئا من المال لأهله ونفسه, in a way that he can go and get that money back and replace it, or replace the money that he spent to spend on himself and his family, فحينئذ نقول. Then in such a case we say, تصدق بجميع مالك. We say then in this case, you can give your entire wealth, you can spend your entire wealth, or in charity. وإذا كان الأمر بالعكس. If it's the other way though, فَكَانَ رَجُلًا أَخْرَقْ لَا يَعْرِفُ أَنْ يَكْتَسِبُ. A person is broke, he doesn't know how to earn money. وَلَيْسَ هُنَاكَ دَاعٍ أَنْ يُنْفِقَ كَثِيرًا. There's no real motivation or need for him to spend a lot anyway. فَهُنَا نَقُولَ الْأَوْلَى أَنْ تُنْفِقَ بَعْضَ الْمَالِ. We say in this case, it's more deserving or more appropriate that you spend some of the money. وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ, and in this verse, دليل على أنه ينبغي للإنسان أن يحقق إيمانه ويثبته. In this verse as well is proof that a person should actualize his iman and make it firm. وكلما رأى فيه تزعزعا استعاذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And every time he sees a shift in his iman, or a loss, or a shaking, or a movement, meaning towards a lower level of iman, then he seeks refuge with Allah from the accursed devil. وَمَضَى إِلَى سَبِيلِهِ, and he goes forth in the path of Allah, وَأَنْ يُنْفِقَ مِنَ الْمَالِ, and that he spends from his wealth, وَالْمَالُ مَحْبُوبٌ, while wealth is something beloved to people. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High says, وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمًّا, and you love wealth with an excessive, with an exorbitant amount of love. وقال عز وجل, and Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said, وَإِنَّهُ بِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ, and verily he, meaning mankind, is, as it relates to love of khayr, here the word khayr means man, it means money, لَشَدِيدٌ, he is verily, you know, devout and severe in his love for that money. وَلَا يُمْكِنُ أَنْ يَبْدُلَ الْإِنسَانُ شَيْئًا مَحْبُوبًا إِلَيْهِ, the person will not give up something that he loves, that he treasures, إِلَّا لِمَا هُوَ أَحَبُّ, except hoping for something that is even more beloved. فَإِذَا بَذَلَ الْإِنسَانُ الْمَحْبُوبَ إِلَيْهِ ابْتِغَاءً لِرِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ, when a person spends the beloved wealth that he has, seeking the pleasure of Allah, عَلِمْنَا أَنَّ الرَّجُلَ يُحِبُّ رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ أَكْثَرَ مِنَ الْمَالِ, then we know about this person, that he loves the pleasure of Allah, he loves that Allah be pleased with him, more than he loves that money. وَبِذَٰلِكَ يَتَحَقَّقُ الْإِيمَانِ, and in this way, a person's iman is actualized. أسأل الله تعالى, I ask Allah the Most High, أن يجعلنا من ذوي العلم, that he make us from the people of knowledge, الراسخ, that firmly grounded knowledge, والإيمان الثابت, and firmly grounded iman. إِنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, he is all-powerful, for all-capable, above all matters. This is what Allah Ta'ala has made easy for us to complete in this session. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَالصَّلَاةُ وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمْ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى نَبِيَّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.